Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Elder Rettimeyer, Donald Rettimeyer, and it's so much of a pleasure to be able to talk to you on this beautiful fall Friday evening. I want you to know that God is good. He has kept me safely throughout the week, and he has done the same for you also, so that you can be here with us. I'm so grateful that so many of you are online already. As I look to the board, I can see we have 6 callers on board already, and I just want to thank God for you, and I just pray that God bless each and every one of you as you listen today, and I pray that the program also, the study that we are going to do this afternoon will be a blessing to you. It will uplift you and draw you closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to say a very special welcome to my co-host. And I think I can call her that because she is so far accepting the challenge to be that. And she, of course, will have to learn a little bit more about the program and how it works and everything like that. But that person that I'm talking about is none other than Sister Jackie Grace. Miss Jackie Grace, I thank you so much for being with us today. And all the others that are listening, I just want to say welcome and thank you so much. Today we are going to look at this topic. For our study today is entitled When the Devil Changed the Rules. And that should be interesting, When the Devil Changed the Rules. And that's a topic that is that I think we all need to hear and we all need to pay close attention to, because it's basically just talking about what do we do when things change all of a sudden upon us, and especially when the changes are made by the devil. You know, we might be prepared to do things one way in life, but all of a sudden, the unexpected happens. The things that we were not bargaining for comes about. You know, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's some kind of a disruption to our finances or whatever. And when these things happen, normally we would be placed in a position where we end up going into a downward spiral because we were never expecting something like that to happen. And so the question becomes, what do we do when something like that takes place, when the devil, so to speak, changed the rules all of a sudden? And the question becomes, can we still play the game? You know, I just to start this program as an introduction, for today, I wanted to ask the question, because a part of what we do when the devil changes the rules is, who do you think you are? Do you know who you are? You know, in June of 2002, the Bureau of Justice published the following a follow-up study of more than 272,000 prisoners who had been released in 1994. The findings were very disturbing. The researchers for that program found that 67.5% of those that were released, the released prisoners, were rearrested for another crime within 3 years. Could you imagine that? These guys were released, and within 3 years, 67.5% of them were rearrested. And after 3 years, 51% of them, which is a little more than half of them, were back in prison. And so it became a question as to why, you know, these guys would end up right back in prison after being released. And the psychologist who was part of the program, who did part of the evaluation to what was taking place with these prisoners, they surmised that many of the prisoners never learned to see themselves as free citizens. So because of that, they reverted right back to their old behavior pattern. And the point that we're trying to present here this afternoon is that those who continue to view themselves as criminals also continue to act that way. And so because of that, they end up right back in prison. And that was the finding of the psychologists of these guys that they tested, over 272,000 of them. And they said that is why they end up right back in prison. They never saw themselves as free citizens. And so the question that we're asking this afternoon is very important. Who do you think you are? Who do you see yourself as? And that is important because you are going to act like the person you think you are. And I just pause so that can sink in a little. You know, your action, for the most part, reflects your thinking. And this story was taken from a book that was written by Pastor Doug Batchelor, and I think it was very interesting how they came up with that finding. He published that in one of his books, and it was a little booklet that is entitled, Who Do You Think You Are? And so the question this afternoon is who do you think you are, and what do you do when the devil changes the rules? All right? Knowing who you are would determine how you will act. And that is what our study is about today. And it's taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. That is where we would like to turn. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And we read in the story of David and Goliath there, starting from verse 4 of that chapter. And we'll go right down to verse 11. 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 11. But while you're looking for that and while you're finding that, I'm just going to invite my co-host, Sister Grace Jackie, to say something and to get ready for our special music, which will come right after Jackie, and then we'll go into this study. So, again, I am your host, Elder Donald Rettimeyer, and our topic for today, our study for today, is entitled When the Devil Changed the Rules, and it's taken from 1 Samuel 17, reading from verse 4 through verse 18, or verse 20, verse 4 through 19, sorry. 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 19, and I'm going to read that after a comment from my co-host, Sister Jackie. So, Sister Jackie, I'm turning over to you, ma'am. How are you today?
Good afternoon to Donald and everybody that is on the call. I'm doing great, praise God. And it's such a beautiful thing that we can get together because we could remember that passage that said not to forget to assemble ourselves together as God people. You know, and as you were asking the question, you know, what to do when the rules change, when the devil changed the rules. And also the story that you had shared. You know, if we go back to when God with a mighty hand rescue, you know, rescue his people from slavery, you know, with the leadership of Moses. These people were rescued, yet they were still grumbling and looking back. You should have left in Egypt.
In Egypt,
so there
yeah.
we didn't have this trouble that we have here in the wilderness. You know, and they just get used to sin, that they think there is nothing else better than the past life. But whenever we accept Christ and we are renewed in Christ, we want to make that change, you know, and have an identity because we become children of the Most High God, you know.
Amen.
We are no more looking at our who we used to be, you know. So it's such a beautiful story and also a lot to learn from it. And also, you know, we can apply this to our life, you know, apply this to our life. To see who we are, you know, and remind us that as children of the Most High, we don't need to live as beggar, you know.
Amen.
We don't need to live as beggar, but victorious in Jesus. And we also look at the topic for today, David and Goliath, when the rules change, when the devil changed the rule. What are we going to do? We're going to crumble up when situation change in our life. Everything could be going smooth and all of a sudden things change, you know, for good or for better. We just can't crumble up and give up, but give it to the Lord and let He take care of that and, you know, walk in victory. You know, there is a passage in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you know, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways, not some. You know,
yeah.
He didn't say may or might. He said, I shall direct thy path. So I just wanted to share that this afternoon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Jackie. So much inspiration in that. And I'm grateful for you and for your, you know, presence here online and for your sharing, your enthusiasm with which you share the word of God. And I just pray that, you know, everyone will be blessed through it and that we will continue to live for Him. And at this time, before I get into the program, before I get into the study, so to speak, I'm just going to play a song, and it's entitled We Have Come This Far by Faith. Yeah, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. So I just want you to sit back and listen and enjoy this. And after this, we're going to go into our prayer and then into our study for this afternoon.
We've come this far by faith. He never will. No, no, no.
Eternal Father and our God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the technology that we have today whereby we can be in different locations but still meet on this conference call where we can see your word together. Father, we know that if we can do this as human beings with each other and be disconnected, we are assured that our prayers are being heard by you. We are assured that you are hearing us. And you're answering us. Father, as we bow before you, and as our faces differ, so do our circumstances, and so do our needs. And so, Lord, I just pray that you may supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. Be with each and every one of us on this study, Lord, individually. Help that by thy grace that we may hear something from your word that would draw us closer to you today. And at the end of this study, all of us, we'll be able to say it was good to be listening to your word. Father, you said that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we just pray that you speak to us today in no uncertain terms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, friends, it's time to get into our Bible study. At the end of the study, if you would like to share a prayer request or if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, we'll have a few minutes for that. And then at the end, our co-host, Jackie Grace, is going to pray for us. She's going to do our closing prayer. Our pastors are away for the weekend. They're not with us this weekend, but they should be back with us next week. So we'll look forward to that. But until then, we are all in the fort, and we are going to keep things going and keep the Lord God ever before us, because we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, there is hope, there is joy, there is salvation. So at this time, we're going to look at the Word of God, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 26. I know I said 4. You know what? Let me read from verse 4. Verse 4 through 19. It's a longer reading, but I'll just go through this. It says there, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he have graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass upon his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the armies of his, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and Abinadab, and Shammah. And David was the youngest of these eldest. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these ten cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fear, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And at least that is what Jesse thought. Jesse told David, his son, Jesse was David's son, that Saul and his brothers, David's 3 brothers, and all the men of Israel, they were down in the valley of Elah, and they were fighting with the Philistines. Well, at least that is what Jesse thought, that that was going on. But when David actually got there, he saw something different. There was no fighting going on. In fact, what he saw was the Philistine by the name of Goliath would come out and present himself. And every morning the Israelites would stand up and present themselves to battle. But when Goliath would come out and shout to them, they would all run back to their tents and they would run and hide. What was going on, just to give you a picture here, is that they were fighting and they had a valley between the Israelites' army and the armies of the Philistine. And in the valley there was the valley of Elah. Israel was on one side of the valley and the Philistine was on the other side of the valley. And these 2 armies came out to fight. Saul was leading the Israelite army. He was the king, and the king would lead the army in those days back today we call the President of the United States the Commander-in-Chief. But very rarely would we see the Commander-in-Chief on the battlefield, who is the President here in the U.S. But back in those days when the king would be the one who would lead the army, and he would be out there with the soldiers and, you know, fighting side by side with them. And, you know, Israel had gotten pretty good. God had told them when they came out of Egypt, Jackie, he was talking about them coming out of Egypt, and then they wanted to look back. But 40 years they walked through the wilderness with Moses, and then they got to the promised land. And then, you know, Moses did not go into the promised land, we know, because of his disobedience, but God allowed him to see the promised land. But then Joshua was able to lead the people over. And when they got over to the promised land, to the land of Canaan there, they had to fight. The first enemy they met with was those people in Jericho. And what Jericho basically did when they came, close up their city, because their city was walled, and they just closed the gates to the city, and so Israel couldn't get in. But God gave Israel victory, because all what Joshua and Israel did was to march around the walls, and then after 7 days the walls came tumbling down. You know that story. But Israel under Saul now, Saul was king, Joshua had gone, and under Saul Israel had gotten pretty good at fighting their enemies, because God had told them that they should go there and they should wipe out the enemies. They should get rid of all the people there, because the people there were wicked and sinful. And God did not want Israel to adopt the sins of the people that were there and to be influenced by them. Those people had had a chance to repent, and they did not repent. And so God was saying, okay, it's time to put an end to them. And so Israel was under Saul and his leadership. They had beaten the Philistines before, and they had fought with people like the Amalekites and, you know, all the other people. And if you read in chapter 16 and 15, even chapter 14, it tells you that Israel, I'm just going to read a couple of verses from 1 Samuel 14, verses 48 and 47. It says, so Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against the Moabites, and against the children of Ammon, and against the Edomites, and against the kings of Zobah and the Philistines. And whithersoever he turneth, he vexed them. Verse 48 says, and he gathered an host, and smote the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. And so Israel had gotten pretty good at fighting and at combat, because remember, when they left Egypt, they were just a band of slaves, and they were, you know, they had no army and all the rest of it. But now, after a couple of years being in the promised land, and God working and delivering them, first through Joshua, now through Saul, Israel had become pretty good, and they had defeated the Philistines before. However, they didn't wipe them out. And so in verse 17, in chapter 17, we see that Saul has to face the Philistines again. But this time, when the Philistines met with them in the valley of Elah, the Philistines decided to do something different. They said, instead of us having the two armies rush down into the valley and then everybody, you know, fighting each other, and then there's swords flying and spears throwing and people dying and, you know, things like that, and then the strongest army would prevail, the Philistines came up with a different plan. And that's why we say, what do you do when the devil changes the rule? And it was a plan that Israel was not prepared for. And so the Philistines said, we will send one champion instead of having the two armies meet and you know, all these people getting killed and all the rest of it. You just send one champion and we'll send one champion. And if your champion wins, then we are going to be your servants. But if our champion wins, then you are going to be our servants. And when the Philistine presented their champion, he was no other than Goliath of Gath. And not only was he Goliath of Gath, he sounded like a bad person just listening to his name and where he's from, but then Goliath was a giant. And so when Israel saw that, when the men of Israel saw that, not one of them had the courage to go and fight Goliath. You see, those men of Israel, when they left their home and they went out to the battlefield to fight, they were hoping that they would be fighting the way they normally fight, where they would have people side by side and they would all rush down together as an army and they would meet the other, you know, the enemies, and then they would fight them with, you know, with their comrades fighting by their side. But here Goliath is saying, let one person come and we'll send one person, you know, and fight me. So when Israel saw that and when they heard that, that was not something they were prepared for. The rules had changed. They had gotten accustomed to playing the game, and they knew to play the game, you know, when the two armies are fighting together, when they're fighting with people by themselves. But when it was time to fight alone, when it was time to face the enemy by yourself, they did not know what to do. And the Bible says there that Goliath presented himself in verse 18 of chapter 17. It says, Goliath presented himself morning and evening for 40 days. For 40 days, and nobody from Israel was able to answer the challenge from Goliath. Isn't that something? Those men left their homes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says whenever Goliath would come out, they would all run back to their tents. Instead of fighting him, everybody would just run back to their tents in fear. And they left their home and they came out to fight. They were going there to do battle with the enemy. But because they got there and the rules were changed, they did not know what to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they were very afraid. They became dismayed. I mean, they were confused and they were greatly afraid, because things weren't exactly what they were expecting. And that is how life is sometimes. And the question is, what do you do when the devil changes the rules? Many a time we might be accustomed to having things going one way. You know, we are accustomed to getting up in the morning and going to our job, and our jobs are there and we are getting, you know, our salary and we can take care of our bills and stuff like that. But what happens when you get up one morning and you go to your job and the boss says, we don't need you no more, and he gives you a pink slip? You know, it's easy to praise the Lord and to be faithful in returning your tithes and your offering and all of that when you're getting the money and when things are going good. But what happens when nothing is coming in? Can you still be faithful? You know, maybe you are married and all of a sudden things were going good in your marriage, or you thought it was going good, but then one day your wife got up and said, you know what, I don't think I want to stay in this marriage anymore. Or the husband might say that. They don't want to stay there no more. They want to get a divorce or something like that. Tired of being with you. You know, what do you do? Do your world just fall apart? Or what about if you are healthy? I'm strong, like Sister Jackie. You know, one day you had your sight, Jackie, and then all of a sudden you wake up and then you couldn't see, or something was happening. You realize your sight was failing, and it was failing rapidly. Brother Wendell, sight going. And not only that, but kidneys failing and all of that. And all of a sudden you realize you can't go to work anymore. You used to have a job, but now you can't work because you can't see. You can't drive anymore. You have to get somebody to drive you and somebody to lead you around because you don't have your sight anymore. What do you do? You know, things are not the same anymore. Do you freeze up? Do you do like what Job's wife told him to do, to curse God and die? When things were going good, she had no problem with God, but once, you know, Job began to lose everything and the family began to fall apart and he lost his wealth and his children were dying, Job's wife just said, you know what, Job, why don't you... So finally Job lost his health. She said, why are you staying so miserable? Why don't you just curse God and die? Things change. And Israel came out and it wasn't what they expected. The Philistines threw them a curveball, so to speak, and they did not know what to do. And for 40 days, They were out there on the battlefield, and no fighting was going on. So Jesse told David to go see what's happening, because back in those days, there were no CNN, you know, so that he can get the news. There were no Good Morning America, right? There was no NBC back then, or CNBC or whatever you call it, to get the news from. So he sent Jesse to see what was going on, Jesse sent David to see what was going on, because he had his three oldest boys out there with Saul, his three eldest sons. Jesse had seven sons, and the three eldest ones were out there on the battlefield, and he didn't know whether they were alive or well. He didn't know how they were feeling. All he knew, how they were fearing, but all he knew is that 40 days had passed, and, you know, he wanted to know how the battle is going. And so he told David to carry some provision, you know, carry some food, some bread and cheese and all the rest of it, and give it to the captain and stuff like that, just in case they need some food out there, because it's been 40 days. And see how they're doing. See whether my sons are still alive, if my boys are still alive. See what is happening, then come and bring me news. And he says to David in verse 19 of chapter 17, he says, now Saul and they that are his sons, you know, and all the men of Israel, he said, were in the valley of Elah, and they were fighting with the Philistines. And so Jesse had two out of three right. Saul and David's brothers, they were in the valley of Elah. That was true. They were there. And, you know, all the men of Israel, they were there also. They were in the valley of Elah. But when he got there, there was no fighting taking place. And David was wondering what was going on. But just to make a short story of this entire episode, jump into verse 26. Look at verse 26 of this chapter here, chapter 17, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, and David spoke. And by the way, at that time when David got there, David was just a teenager. He was just like around 17 years old, maybe 16 or 17, somewhere around then. And it says, and David spake to the men that stood by with him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Because he went there and nobody was doing anything to him. It says, and taketh away the reproach from Israel. You know, and David says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And then David said in verse 32, he went to Saul after they took him to Saul. David says to Saul, he says, let no man's heart fail because of him, talking about Goliath. He says, thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And my question is, when I read this and how this whole study came about, was, didn't David see what the armies of Israel were seeing? Didn't he see how big Goliath was and how strong Goliath was and how well protected Goliath was with all those, you know, coats of mails and the helmet and the brass and the big spear and the sword and everything? Didn't David see all of that, and that Goliath had a man walking before him with a shield and all of that? And if David saw just what the other rest of the armies of Israel was seeing, why was David not afraid? How come didn't he get scared like the rest of Israel? That's my question. How come David says, you know what, I'm still going to be able to fight in spite of the fact that the rules were changed? David says, I am going to go and fight the Philistine. And when Saul tried to give David his armor to go, imagine that Saul was a big, tall man himself. And Saul was afraid of Goliath. And when he tried to put on his armor on poor David, David couldn't even move in it, because David was still a lad. Right? He couldn't even move in Saul's armor. He had to take it off. And David said, you know what, I'm going to fight I'm going to fight this giant the way I fight everything in life. You know? And that's the question. Why wasn't David afraid of Goliath? There are three reasons why. And the first one is, David knew who he was. And that's why we ask the question, who do you think you are? Do you know who you are? Israel had forgotten who they were. They were God's army, and they had God on their side, and each one of them forgot that. But David came there, and from the very first day, David never forgot that. He remembered that. Look at verse 26 again, what David says. David spake to the men that stood by, and he said unto them, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Saul and David brothers and all the other men that were there on the battlefield forgot that they belong to the army of the living God. So it didn't matter what giant they were facing, whether it was the giant of a broken home, or giant of sickness and health, the giant of blindness, Jackie, the giant of not being able to do what you did in the past when you had your sight. It didn't matter what came to David. He knew that he could fight because of who he was. He knew to whom he belonged. And the question is, do you know to whom you belong? Do you know who you are? Who do you think you are? If you belong to God, you know that whenever you face the circumstances and whenever you have to deal with trouble, you know that God has your back. Amen? God never promised to take away the giants. He never said that you're not going to face trouble and trials. But what he promised and what he always stuck to was the fact that he's always going to be with you. So whatever you're going through, whatever you will have to face, God is going to go through it with you. You're never going to have to go through it all alone, all by yourself. Amen? So you have to just trust God and know that he is always there. He says, I would never leave you or forsake you. You are my child. It's just like if you're a parent, right? You know that it doesn't matter how big your child gets or how big your children get, they're still your children. And whenever they get into trouble or whatever, you would not forsake them or leave them just like that as a parent, right? At least most of us wouldn't who are parents. We would be there for those children. And so God, as our Father, right? Our Father who is in heaven, would always be there for us. And so David knew that, and he remembered that he belonged to God, and because he belonged to God, he can face any giant. That's point number one. That's point number one that we see here that we can learn from David, and why David was able to stand up and challenge Goliath in spite of the fact of what, you know, Goliath was saying, and in spite of who Goliath was, being big and bad. And anyhow, let us look at the second point here to remember. Look at verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. It says, and David said unto Saul, after he said, let no man's heart fail, and he said, I'm going to go fight the giant. It says, David said unto Saul, he said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. He says, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. And he says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And he says, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he defied the armies of the living God. Now, what is that second point? The first point is to know who you are, know that you belong to God, you're a child of God. The second point is that we see here is that David remembered what God did for him in the past. He remembered how God to deliver that sheep from the lion and the bear. And David said, because this uncircumcised Philistine defied the armies of the living God, the same thing is going to happen to him. Many a times we forget how God brought us through the challenges that we faced in the past. We forget how he took us over the difficulties that we have encountered in our lives. And so we think that when we run into trouble, that we have to go through it and we wouldn't be able to make it through. We start off saying, you know, woe is me, right? How can I handle this? Guess what? You handle it just the way you handle it in the past. Just remember what God did for you in the past. Just remember where you came from, how you get to where you are. There were challenges. It might not have been a giant. Of course, David never faced a giant before, but he knew that he faced the bear and he faced the lion. And the little challenges that we overcome in the past prepare us for the bigger ones to come. So if you can overcome the little ones by the grace of God, then guess what? The same God that helped you to overcome the challenges that didn't seem that difficult is the same God who's going to help you to overcome the big challenges. So that's point number two. Remember what God did for you in the past. And then the third point is, look at verse 44 of 1 Samuel 17 and verse 44. It says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. It says, verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, he says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Amen. David said, you're coming with a spear and a shield and a sword and all the rest of it, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And that is so powerful, because later on in life, Solomon writing in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, Proverbs 18:10, Solomon says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He says, the righteous run into it and they are safe. David realized that there is power in the name of the Lord. There is healing in the name of the Lord. Whenever I'm afraid, I will call upon the name of the Lord, because there is no other name under heaven or earth by which we will be saved. I will trust in the name of the Lord always. Who do you put your trust in? Goliath was trusting in his sword and in his spear and in his shield and all the rest of it. But David trusted in the name of the Lord. And who won? Do you think that David could have delivered or could have defeated Goliath with just that sling and that stone all by himself? No way. But because he went in the name of the Lord fought his battle for him. So we're back to the question that we began with. Who do you think you are? To whom do you belong? Do you know? Are you a child of the Lord? Are you a child of the King who made everything? If you are God's child, guess what? You will never be alone. And it doesn't matter how the devil changed the rules, you would still be able to play the game. Isn't that something? Isn't that reassuring? With God by your side, you can still be an overcomer. But we have got to remember who we are. We have got to know who we are. We've got to know that we belong to him. You know, God cannot fail. He cannot lie. He cannot, you know, in any way not do what he has promised to do. He says that in his Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, for me. And he says, if I go, I will come again. Right? But he says, until then, What I want you to do is to keep preaching the gospel. Keep encouraging each other. Keep strengthening each other. Let people know that there is a God. And especially as we see how the days are going today with the different politicians running and elections, and then you're having the different hurricanes and all the rest of it, the signs of the times are telling. With the Pope making his rounds and all the rest of it, and everything is just headed straight for the second coming of Christ. And so at this time, we have to stand up and to let people know who we are, to whom we belong. And the assurance that we have is that he said that I will be with you always. Even if you don't see me, he says, no, I am with you, even unto the end. So we don't have to be afraid, but we have to live for him. And so when the devil changes the rules, my friend, these are the three things that you have to remember. Just like David, he remembered who he was. He remembered what God did for him in the past. And he faced his troubles in the name of the Lord. I want to submit to you that if you would do that today, there is no challenge, no trouble, no problem that you yourself would not be able to overcome. Amen? So with that, I'm going to close right here, and I'm just going to open up the line so that anyone who would like to make a comment or to just, you know, request special prayer or anything like that, now is the time to do so. We're going to open all the lines, so you can make your comment.
Praise God. I thank God for the word that has come forth. And thank God that we're... Oh, and my name is Francis.
Hey,
and,
hey,
yes. And I know that's what we should do. Remember what the Lord has already done for us. And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter when the devil changed the rules. We got to know who we are and whose we are. And then plus we got to know what he did in the time of peace, he'll do it in the time of trouble, no matter what the troubles are. And we got to stand and keep on standing. And then again, we got to know, no matter, it's going to be a lot of giants in our life, different giants and things like that.
That's right.
But we got to stand on the word. And we know that every promise is real, and every word is true.
That's right.
And if we read our Bibles, study our Bibles, obey our Bibles, believe in our Bibles, and then... that your Bible, which is the Word of God, will come alive in us. And as David was saying, you know, this is a giant, and he remembered what God had already done for him, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us.
That's
and I just
right.
thank God for this message today. It was very, very, very good food. Get very spiritual food for us. That just remember who we are and whose we are. And no matter how the devil changed the rule, God is still God. He never changed.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just want to say this one comment quickly. You said how and I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, but you said how the word come alive in us when we study it. And that is so true. It will come alive in you. It will come alive.
It'll come alive, and you got to stick with that word, because God, you know, he be with us through all triumphs, and he done already gave us the victory. And we're going to be overcomers. And every time we go through something, we get stronger and stronger. And whatever, and we must do, and we must know who we are in different situations so we can be able to handle it. Praise
That's right.
God. We got
Amen.
To know. We got to know. Amen. Mm. Thank God. And thank God for the message and the messenger. Praise God.
Praise God. Anyone else? Okay, the line is still open, and you can join us with your comments, with your prayer requests, share your thoughts, anything with that. We have a few minutes more, and I just want you to know that this study is something that we would like it to be interactive. I would like you to feel free to be able to share, you know, just your thoughts. And I know sometimes people like to listen and to just be quiet and, you know, just soak in the word and everything like that. I know it must have been something that was encouraging to each and every one of us. But it is good also for us to get some feedback if we can. And, you know, even if it's just to ask, you know, for prayer so that we can say, well, all right, we will, you know, pray for me and this, or I'm going through this, or anything like that, because we want you to know that we are all one big family here. At least we're trying to establish that, and we're trying to be able to feel free so that we can interact with each other and to share your thoughts. And that is why we leave some time at the end of the program or towards the end so that you can give your comments as well. And I just don't want to call anybody, you know, to say something, but I want you to feel free to just say something now before Sister Jackie comes on and close us out with our prayer and our closing thoughts. So anyone else would like to say something?
Hi, I'm Corey.
Hi, Corey.
Hey.
I knew you were there, but I didn't want to call you, so I'm glad that you decided to say something for yourself.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, man. It's good to hear from you, Corey.
Yeah, I actually do have a prayer request. One of our friends just recently died a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard.
Yes, Courtney was telling me about her.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, someone that lives in Macon, right? In Macon, Georgia?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, Courtney was telling me about her, so I heard about it.
Yeah, and her funeral is actually a week from today, actually, so.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't be able to go, because it's on a Friday, and with this program and stuff like that. Courtney was telling me she was inviting me to go with her.
Oh, okay, so you will be going.
No, I wouldn't be able to.
Oh, you won't
because,
be able to?
No, I won't be able to because I have a doctor's appointment on Friday morning and then I have to do the program here on Friday afternoon. So I won't be able to. Right.
Okay. Yeah, she's been through a lot and, you know, like with seizures and two strokes and, she's been through a lot. And then she died on the 11th of this month.
Okay.
On October the 11th. So,
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to keep you guys in prayer and keep. Would you be going?
Yes, I'm still going to try to make it. I'm still going to try to make it next Friday if I can. I still hope I can.
All right. So I'll keep you all in prayer and keep the family also in prayer, those who are grieving our love. So, Jackie, if you can pray for her, please, when you're doing the closing prayer. And pray for the family. And all those who would be traveling from, you know, the various parts of Georgia to go down to that funeral.
What a beautiful opportunity we have today to receive spiritual nourishment for Jesus' journey. And I want to remind us that as children of the Most High God, we shouldn't let our situation intimidate us, but remind our situation how great is our God. Praise the Lord. And because He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come once more before you, Lord, humbling ourselves before you, Lord, thanking you for this wonderful, awesome opportunity, Lord, that we have to call upon your name, Lord, to glorify you, Lord, and celebrate you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for this moment, Lord, that we can dedicate and set away from all busy schedules to just worship you, Lord, to receive your nourishment, Lord, to continue strong on this Jesus journey. We thank you for the wonderful lesson that was taught today. We thank you, Lord, for the messenger and all the people that are here, Lord. Lord, we also want to pray for each and every family represented here. Lord, we also want to pray for the one who had lost loved one, Lord. We ask you to wrap your loving arms around them and help them to remember, Lord, that in you we can find peace. We can find that comfort that passes all understanding. Lord, we thank you and we ask you for traveling grace for all the ones that will be traveling, Lord. You be with them and strengthen them, Lord, for the way, Lord, and help us, Lord, that as we go from here, but not from your presence, Lord, that we will just allow you to guide us and to be with us because you had promised, Lord, not to leave us or forsake us, Lord, and we can trust and be willing to obey and remember that you will never fail us, Lord, because you are all good all the time, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Be with us, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So I just want to thank you again for listening, everyone. We are a couple of minutes over time, but we are still on. We didn't get cut off as yet. So I just want to thank God for that. I guess His grace and His mercy abound. And I pray that each and everyone would have a wonderful weekend. Remember, the time would be falling back on Sunday. So you'll get an extra hour sleep for those who would be, you know, having their nap and don't have to get up early on Sunday morning. But for the rest of us, I just pray that we all have a wonderful and a God-filled weekend. I pray that the message may linger in our hearts and that we all may make the resolution to make that full and complete surrender to Him. All right? I just pray that God will help us to do that. So, God bless, my friends. Remember that God loves you. So do I. And just keep trusting in Him. And one day soon, when He comes, all of us will have the opportunity to see Him for ourselves and hail Him as our Lord and our Savior. God bless. Have a wonderful and a blessed weekend.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Donald. It was great.
You're welcome. I'll give you a call later.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.